There are all kinds of holidays or holy days or whatever you care to call them, and each carries with it its own accretions of meanings, and for each one of us those accretions are slightly different. Take an example. We, that's my brother, your Uncle Johnson, and myself, were up at Jenny Smith's for a tree trimming a few days before Christmas, must have been 1882. It had been clear and we'd spent the morning sliding and throwing rocks at the creek. Then the sky changed fast and we went inside and the lamps had been lit and we looked out the windows at the clouds. Then it started snowing. It snowed and we sat at the windows and watched it, and when the windows froze over we rubbed pictures in them, and then we left the windows to string popcorn and berries and sing songs. They had colored glass balls that made your nose look big if you looked into them, and we started telling fortunes, and all the fortunes were about having big noses and blue faces. And then we ate and it was still snowing, and now the fire in our considerable hot air, probably, had warmed the windows, and when you wiped your hands across them the glass smeared and your hands came away wet. What we were looking for through the window was not the snow, it was Father and the wagon. But pretty soon it was just snow and dark outside, then more snow and darker and wind, and we knew we weren't going home, a condition with which you might imagine two not-so-tiny boys might be satisfied, and we were satisfied. But 2 days went by and still Father hadn't come, and then it was getting on towards late afternoon on Christmas Eve and we were no longer satisfied, and neither were our keepers, and Johnson had already gotten his ears boxed for displaying some of his dissatisfaction. And as a matter of fact, when the knock finally came, Johnson was standing with his 7-year-old nose in the corner. You can believe me, he was the first one of us dressed and outside. Now here's where the story really starts. Father was smiling. I'd never seen him smile like he was smiling just then. He was standing in the snow next to the horses, and I thought his teeth were fixing to fly right out of his head. He had a big lumber sled he'd borrowed from old Cousin Eddie, and he and Mother had fixed up a box with colored blankets into which he lifted each one of us, although neither of us was particularly interested in being lifted. And then he said Merry Christmas and thank you, and we said Merry Christmas and goodbye. And then he covered the box, and it was dark, though you could see snow through two chinks near the top. Then we could feel that he had turned the team, and we were sliding away. I don't suppose he'd done much more than top the first rise when we heard him say, "Whoa," and the sleigh stopped, and he said, "Ha," and pulled the cover off the box and looked down at us, grinning. Then he pulled the present out of his coat and handed it down inside. "Open it," he said. We didn't open it straight away. It was wrapped in green foil and had a red ribbon tied around it. We didn't have to touch it, or at least I didn't have to touch it, to know it was a book. "What book is it, Daddy?" I said. And he said to open it, which neither of us showed signs of doing immediately enough, so he pulled the present back up and tore off the foil and the ribbon and tossed it away into the snow, then handed the book back to both of us and said, "Read what's on the spine." I looked at it. Already it was dark. My father leaned forward and lit the lantern. The book was black with gold lettering. I'd never seen letters like that. "Virgil," I said. I looked up at him. "It does not say that," Johnson said. "But it did, and I asked Father if the book was ours, and he said, didn't we just unwrap it? Only we had to wrap it back up before Christmas morning because it was supposed to be a surprise." Then he said, "Open it and read a few lines." I did so, or started to, but couldn't. And he said, grinning, "I'll teach you that. I'll teach both of you." "I'm cold," Johnson said. "That's right," my father said, and lifting the book away from me, covered the box back up and said something to the horses, and we began to slide. We slid through the now dark in the box, and my brother was talking, and then he was asleep, and then I could hear my father's voice. It was my father's voice reading, and it was sounds I didn't know, although now I knew it was about my name, and then I was asleep, and then we had stopped. Father uncovered the box. He was still holding onto the book and told me to stand up and look. We were about 3 miles from home, and it was dark, only the sky had cleared, and there were stars, and a little slice of moon was out, and there were about 5 sleighs with bells and swinging lanterns moving towards us along the road. Then they had said hello and Merry Christmas, and we had said hello and Merry Christmas, and Johnson had woken up and said, "What?" And Father had lifted him up to see, and I was still thinking about those sleighs and lanterns and the pale faces like fire and the colored hoods. Then we were moving again. Father was reading, only it sounded now like he was singing Christmas songs, like they had been in the sleighs. And I was asleep again, and then we were home, and Mother was shaking us awake and scolding Father for having taken so long.